You need to put these on though.
Okay, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, of the host of the Qumran Report. And I'm out here at the beautiful Ford Theater, Edison Plaza. And I'm going to do an interview with a military veteran. And what's your name?
Gil Eglin.
Gil, so glad to have you out here. Can you tell us when were you in the service?
53 to 55.
Your career. Your daughter work here, huh?
She works here now.
Yeah, and what's her name?
Eileen.
Yeah, and she's good also. Look, can you tell us, do you know anything about the Tuskegee Airmen?
Well, I knew they existed. Saw them on movie and all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Knew how they weren't allowed in the Air Force and then established their own unit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me this. What did you do after? Well, tell us some of the places you went to while you was in the military.
Well, actually, I went to Italy, and I was in Trieste, Italy, when Trieste, Yugoslav army was above Trieste, and Tito was going to take it. So we went there to say, don't do it.
And how did you, was your first time in Italy?
First time in Italy.
Did you pick up on any Italian or any of that?
Of course. Si.
Si. Okay. Can you tell us, what was your experience after you came out of the military?
Well, after I came out of the military, I had the GI Bill and I went to college at San Jose State.
San Jose, yeah, Santa Clara County. What did you take up?
P.E. I was a basketball player.
Oh, you played on the team?
Right.
And what did you do after that? Did you get a chance to in any pro ball or anything like that?
No, I wasn't that good. But I was good enough to play against Bill Russell, Casey Jones.
Oh, yeah, because they played at San Francisco State. Yeah. Oh, right. Wow. I know you guys never beat them.
Nope.
Yeah, that's right. That's amazing, man. When you came out of college, what did you do?
Well, I taught for 10 years at Willoughby High School in San Jose.
Yeah, how was that? How you liked teaching high school?
I liked it, but then I actually went into real estate, and one summer I went into real estate and made more money in 1 week than I did all years teaching, so I decided to change.
Wow, went off into the real estate business.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, Atlanta, is this your only daughter?
She's my second. She's my first daughter.
Yeah.
But I have two.
Yeah, have two.
The other one is in Napa, where I...
Napa Valley, up in the wine country.
Wine country. Because I'm at Yountville now, the Veterans Center.
Yes.
I live there, yeah.
Yes, yes. We got one of our actors who's... he's come from that area. He's beef off into the wine thing, too. I'm going to introduce you to him. His name is Lee Beck and all of that. Okay, then. Can you tell us your name one more time?
Gil Eglin.
Gil Eglin. From the Korean War, you was in the Navy, right?
Army.
Oh, you was in the Army?
Private, first class.
Yeah, I was in the Marines. Okay, thank you very much.
Dude. Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, broadcasting live from Skid Row Studio.
Live.
I'm at the beautiful Ford Theater at the Edison Plaza, and I'm talking to Robert Clemens. He's one of the actors that will be doing the reading tonight. What part were you playing, Robert?
I'm playing Undersecretary of the Air Force,
Rodney Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little about what you know about Rodney Coleman?
I know absolutely nothing about Rodney Coleman. I just know that he's trying to take care of a mess, or trying to straighten out some things that happened in the past, and he's the head of the commission that was duly advocated to put some rights to some wrongs from the past, and he's commissioned by the President of the United States back in 1995.
Can you talk a little about your home, where you're from, and how you got off into acting?
I'm originally from Hartford, Connecticut, insurance capital of the world. I don't know how that happened to come to be that, but we have all the main insurance company, Travelers, Aetna, Cigna, all those type of insurance companies are housed in Hartford, Connecticut. And I wasn't an actor at first. I worked, after college, I worked for IBM Corporation for 10 years before I found out that that was not for me, that I needed to express myself. And after my father, who had worked like 40 years straight for a aircraft building company, manufacturing company, Pratt & Whitney, and he died at 61 of a heart attack, that I wasn't going out like that. If I was going to work for a company that long, I surely didn't want to end up like that. So I resigned from IBM Corp and went about going to the acting arena.
You also work over there with the Rovi Theater Company, and I know you've been in a number of plays. You're also getting ready to direct during the Paul Robeson Festival. Yeah. Is this your first time directing?
No, it's not. I've directed some pieces in college, and I directed some pieces here in L.A. since I've been in L.A., three pieces. I was with a company called The Road Theater Company, and I directed a couple of pieces for them, and I also directed a piece that was presented in Inglewood called West Memphis Mojo. And so this is such a great honor to be now on the boards for directing at the Roby Theater Company. In fact, I just got back from casting. All day long we were casting people for the plays that were going to be done.
And you casted the two plays that you're doing?
I didn't totally cast them, but at least I filled in all the spots that I couldn't fill. And the rest, but it gave me all possibilities of the people that I didn't have as first choice. I had fill-ins for those first choice people.
What are the two plays about?
The first play is called Eslanda Unplugged. And it's about Paul Robeson and his wife, Eslanda. They call her Essie. And it's a play about both of them. Essie has known for years that Paul Robeson has been dilly-dallying around the female anatomy. And people, you know, he was a big figure. And women loved him. So they were just more or less throwing themselves at him, and he, being a man of stature and an athlete, he had quite a libido, and he exercised it. So this was Essie's chance to get back and state her thoughts about him doing that kind of thing. So he has to relent because he got kind of snagged.
Who is the playwright?
The playwright is Nui, I don't know her last name, Lawson, I'm sorry, that's bad. I don't know her last name. She wrote this play, and part of it is cast. Josh Shams is going to play Paul Robeson.
Ooh, wow. the Egypt Paul Robeson.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and the Emperor's Last Performance.
That's
wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, and he, as soon as he heard about it, he said, yes, sir, right on the money.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Thank you, Mr. Robert Clemens. We're going to get another interview with you. We're waiting on to see the great performance that you're going to put on tonight.
This is not a problem.
Okay, thank you, Robert Clemens.
Me. Right.
Yes. Ishmael Johnson out here at the beautiful Ford Theater Edison Plaza getting ready for the performance tonight of the 101 Club, a play about the Tuskegee Airmen, written by Judy Bowman and Melvin Ishmael Johnson. And performing before we open up would be Willis and Shante, two great outstanding musicians. And I'm lucky enough to have Shante Duncan here. Shante, how you doing?
I'm great, Melvin. How are you?
Fine. Can you tell us what do you guys got planned tonight in terms of what you'll be performing?
Willis is going to do two songs. He's going to do Can't Let Go and What You Won't Do for Love. And I'm going to do an original song called Undertow.
Uh-huh. Undertow.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, you're also a music student at Cal State Irvine. Can you talk a little about that?
I go to UC Irvine. I transferred there from Riverside City College, so I'm majoring in music right now. So I just finished my kind of like my first year there, mm-hmm. So it's been great.
Yeah, get a chance to study a lot of original music and all of that?
Yeah, I'm learning about different styles of music. The first class I took was Silk Road music, which kind of spanned across different cultures and different parts of the world, which was really cool. And then I took jazz history, which I was learning about, you know, a lot of cool jazz artists and people mm-hmm. I've heard of before but never really got into. And it really mm-hmm. Just stirred up a love of jazz for me. So just started mm-hmm. getting really into it.
Now, what do you know about the Tuskegee Airmen? So you
I guess I know what they taught us in school about it, but, you know, I don't know too much about it just because, like I said, our education system doesn't really mm-hmm. enforce it too much. It kind of mm-hmm. keeps it on the surface. So kind of like the stuff you see in movies and that kind of thing, but we never really mm-hmm. dove into it.
Can you talk a little about Positive Light Ministry and explain what that is?
Positive Light's a nonprofit organization that tries to provide, you know, music education and just arts education for youth. We work with basically anyone that's willing to learn, and we try to provide, like I said, music lessons, job training, puppet shows, skits, and just trying to stir up an imagination in children and mm-hmm. people of all ages, but really trying to inspire mm-hmm. in any way we can.
How did it start?
Willis will cite that as he went to see a play and The Lion King, which you're mm-hmm. I'm sure you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And he really liked, I guess, like the puppetry, I guess you could say, that was in that. And he wanted to do something similar. So we started out with doing puppet shows and stuff like that for kids. And it just grew and grew. But that's where it started from, was him seeing that production and wanting to do something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us, how did you come to work with Willis?
I met Willis through an after-school program downtown, Central City Church of the Nazarene. They had a after school program for like elementary school kids and then another side for middle school and high school kids. And Willis was a volunteer for the high school and junior high students. And he would come with his guitar and stuff like that. And I told him I wanted to learn. And he said, you know, if you take it serious and if you're serious about learning, I'll get you your own guitar. So, you know, started out small and then he kept his word. He got me my own guitar and, you know, I started learning and now I'm studying it at UC Irvine, so it's amazing.
mm-hmm. Now, do you think after-school programs really make a difference in the community?
Oh, definitely. I think, it, you know, people say it keeps kids off the streets, but I think it gets kids involved in activities instead of just being at home and doing nothing. I think it allows them to interact with other kids and find out what their talents are, what their gifts are, their passions are, Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's better than just sitting at home and doing nothing. It gets kids active and works their imagination and everything. And I think it's necessary mm-hmm. for kids to be involved in something outside of school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, also, let me ask you this. What are your future plans in terms of your career, your music career?
Yeah, I really would like to teach guitar, kind of what Willis was doing for me. Teach it through a nonprofit organization for youth that don't all, you know, have those resources, but still try to provide them with a music education. I'd like to perform as well, do some songwriting and, you know, stuff with my raps, and getting involved with poetry through the spoken word group on campus. So I'd like to, you know, expand upon that. Mm-hmm. And trying to get a minor in business. So, you know, if working for a business or starting my own business is part of that, I'd like to do something along those lines. But definitely teaching music to kids is something I'd like to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to try to get Willis Boyd over here so I could talk a little bit more about what you guys are getting ready to do. Thank you very much, Shantae Duncan. You will be hearing her tonight. Great vocalist.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm honored to have Willis Boyd, an outstanding musician, playing all of these songs that I like and all of that. Willis, can you talk about what you will be performing tonight? Talk about that.
By request, I think it was, had a performance at the SHU.
If the shoe fits at the Vortex?
Yes, did a couple of songs over there, and the people over there enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And so they asked me to perform over here as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thanking them for the, wait a minute, that was you.
Yeah. Now, you guys came out live to Skid Row Studios a few times, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how that experience is?
It's a very positive experience for us, and just to know that there's something that's trying to get, you know, events and stuff going on in Skid Row in the community, not only Skid Row, but in downtown LA area. But mm-hmm. it's a very, the place is so professional, and I mean, it's quality. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in there and you feel like, you know, this ain't no joke. This is the real deal, and it feels good.
Look like we done lost our house music. Maybe Shantae will throw something on for us over there on that house music. Can you talk about when are you guys going to set up your show on Skid Row Studios? I know you do the hourless 15-minute section, Positive Perspective, once a month. Mm-hmm. What are your plans in relationship to that?
Well, we, as far as Shantae, she's going to school, and I'm probably going to start working soon. Mm-hmm. So her schedule is going to be, you know, kind of up in the air. So as far as myself, I would like to get something going. Just have to get, you know, direction, mm-hmm. something stable, a stable direction to go in. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pretty sure in the near future, then we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you talk about... Shantae was telling me like how Positive Light got started and all like that. What are the future plans of Positive Light?
Well, right now we're trying to improve our infrastructure, get a stronger infrastructure. We do a lot of things, and you know, when you do a lot of things, sometimes you have to back it up and mm-hmm. get your paperwork right and your records right and that kind of thing. So right now we're trying to improve that. I believe in September, I think we're going to be doing a kayaking trip for the inner city kids. Mm-hmm. And also the...
Now, what is that?
Well, once a year, what we do is we get as many kids as we can take, and we take them kayaking out at Newport, or actually it's Irvine, but it's the back bays of Newport Beach. Mm-hmm. And we go out there and we teach them how to kayak for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
now explain to me, kayak, what is that?
That's a little boat that you just sit in. It's a long, narrow boat.
Okay.
And you just sit in there and you have the paddles that go on both sides,
mm-hmm.
like this, you mm-hmm. know. So that's kayak.
And they enjoy that?
Oh, they love it. And a lot of them have never done it before. So it's kind of really taking them out of their environment,
mm-hmm.
and getting them used to something that they're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the beach afterwards for the rest of the day,
mm-hmm.
and just have a barbecue and have music and testimony, mm-hmm. positive speaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you also try to put deal with a spiritual perspective from that's what you try to reflect with Skid Row Studio. With Positive Light. Can you talk about that?
Well, I'm a Christian man, and when you say that nowadays, it doesn't really mean much.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and what mm-hmm. we try to do with the kids is we try to teach them about morals mm-hmm. without banging it over their heads. You know, just try to live a mm-hmm. life, and you know, treat people right, worth ethics, and that kind of thing. But we do it.
Mm-hmm.
We do it with Christ as the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with those principles, as Christ is the foundation, then we build off of that. But not trying to say you have to be perfect or anything like that. But
mm-hmm.
try to live a good life. If you look at the Bible, He gives us an example mm-hmm. to go by. And if we go by that example, generally we do all right.
Now, what do you know about Juneteenth?
You know, I was doing a little studying up on it, and the thing that impressed me the most is they said that the church actually was a very big part of Juneteenth celebration, because they also point out the fact that the blacks have this idea that they were introduced to Jesus Christ by a white man through slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking in the Bible, and I remember the I guess it was Philip that jumped on the chariot with the Ethiopian and told him the story about Christ, and the Ethiopian was baptized
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
went to
spread the word.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. a lot of black people knew about Christ before they even mm-hmm. got on a ship to come over here. So what they were saying basically is that the freedom mm-hmm. after Juneteenth, the slaves were set free, or they found out about their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned into chaos because they didn't know anything about freedom. They didn't. A lot of them didn't have anything but the clothes on their backs mm-hmm. and no knowledge of being free or taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the church and that faith is what established
mm-hmm.
African Americans slowly but surely
mm-hmm.
in America.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Willis Boyd, and we're going to be, he's going to be laying out the tunes tonight to open up the show.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much, Willis Boyd of Positive Light Ministry.
All right, thank you,
Shantae
Melvin.
Shantae Duncan, I can't wait to hear them. Now I'm getting ready to interview another musician and actor, Jerome St. Jerome. Jerome, how you doing?
Great. How's everybody doing out there?
Fine. So how did you hear about the event tonight?
You emailed me. I'm glad you put me on your email list.
Yes.
But I also have the Roby Theater Company liked
yeah.
on Facebook.
Yeah.
So that came across my feed.
Yeah.
So I was well informed, and I had plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a couple weeks ago at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I just knew in my mind Thursday, June 19th. So mm-hmm. that was very helpful.
Now, I know you're out of that Chicago area, beautiful city, blues city. We've talked about that before. I remember I had you on the show. We did a whole show on blues, and that's still a classic show. I play it to repeats every now and then.
Well, all right.
But what do you know about the Tuskegee Airmen?
I've heard the story told, but that's why I came for the educational aspect of this program,
mm-hmm.
that I was going to get into a little more detail
mm-hmm.
about what was going on, the mindset
mm-hmm.
of these people that these actors are going to portray.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've heard the story, and, you know, I saw Camp Logan a
mm-hmm.
couple months
mm-hmm.
ago, you know, so these horrific stories that, so, you know, I haven't researched it yet, you know, exactly what went down. Whatever it is, we know it was horrific and wrong and a terrible thing, and,
yeah.
you know, I wish we could have righted these wrongs so long ago, but we should never really forget what happened. Mm-hmm. So it's good to, it's a great vehicle to for, you know, for theater.
Mm-hmm.
To,
mm-hmm.
you know, educate the public, you know, keep them, you know, concerned about, you know, terrible stories like this, and know that this happened and can and will happen again. Maybe some of it, in a way, mm-hmm. is still happening right now, you could say, but that's a bigger story.
And one of the most remarkable thing about this particular story is that, you know, one of the central characters, Bill Terry, he was the roommate of Jackie Robinson.
Okay.
Yeah, when they were in college at UCLA.
Okay.
Yeah. And then one of the other individuals that's involved in this was Coleman Young. He became the mayor of Detroit. And then another, Theodore Barry, another one, he's the one that represented them at the trial. He became the mayor of Cincinnati, the first African-American mayor of Cincinnati. Yeah, so some interesting
Do you know what years that were for Coleman Young?
He was in the 60s.
Okay.
You mean
when they got the mayorship?
Yeah, he was in the, because I was living in Detroit then. It was in
were there at that time?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it rough? Yeah. Was it really tense at that time?
No, it became a little tense after, because you had a transition. Coleman Young was really, you know, he was really, really a radical. So he kind of isolated the power structure there, and a lot of them moved out of Detroit towards the suburbs. You know, a lot of your big teams like the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Lions, they moved way out in the suburbs, and that was the beginning of the deterioration of Detroit at that particular time.
Oh, mm-hmm. So Detroit had been thriving, and then people thought, oh, it's a black mayor, it's going to become one giant ghetto or something stupid like that?
Yeah, well, not so. Well, he kind of had a lot to do with it. To be honest about it, he had a lot to do with it, too, because he... And I found out this later when I began to study the Tuskegee Airmen, that this incident always had an impact on him, you know, in the way segregation and discrimination that he carried on. He had that hard edge to him the whole time that he was a mayor.
And that alienated people and led them out of the city to...
Yeah, the power structure, you know, like Ford Motors and all like that, you know, the real wealthy people, he had a hard time dealing with those. He lost most of the big business that got up out of there and went to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily his fault. It's just their attitudes.
Just
that
attitude.
Drove them out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they should have just stayed and worked with him, but they just were put off and probably unnecessarily so, is what you're
saying. Yeah, and then the man at the top, you know, you're working, when you're at the top of a city like Detroit, you got to be the, you got to represent everybody in Detroit. It's just like President Obama being the president of the United States. He's African American, but he's a president of everybody.
Uh-huh.
And that have to be reflected in the how you manage everybody.
Yeah, you can't please everybody,
yes.
No matter who you are.
Yes. Okay, Jerome St. Jerome. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to try to get Jonathan over here. Jonathan.
Thanks for having me,
yes,
Mel.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, now I'm going to get Jonathan over here. He's coming to check out the event. I'll throw that on, Jerome. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
There.
Tell our listening audience your name.
Jonathan Williams.
Yeah. What kind of work you do in here in L.A.?
Yes, bus operator for Metro.
All right. And you, what do you know about the Tuskegee Airmen?
Oh, well, I ain't been really into it, but I'm here to find out some more.
Mm-hmm. And Juneteenth?
Yeah. Yep, Juneteenth is... Celebration Day.
Mm-hmm. And I hope I get a chance to interview. Could I interview you next on here? Can I talk to you a minute after this? Yeah, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So you've been to quite a few of the Drama Stage Qumran productions. You really support Andrea, a very talented individual actress today. She'd be performing in the play. Can you talk about what are your experience? Did that make you come to theater more?
Yeah, there's an outing after work, get out and just enjoy other people, meeting people around that you've never seen before, and another one of those experiences.
Is this your hometown?
Yes.
Yeah, you grew up out here in L.A.
Right.
Yeah. How was it? What did you? What high school you went to out here too?
Washington High School.
Yeah. How was it? How was it then, and how is it now?
Yeah. Back then it was pretty wild. Yeah. But they say it's cleaned up. As time go by, yes. Things are supposed to get better.
Yeah. Okay then, Jonathan. Thank you. Hey, you come on. Thank you and I want you to enjoy the evening out here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you touch him for me? I want to get him over here. Hello. How you doing? Yeah, so this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios. I'm the host of the Coon Round Report. That's every Monday night at 8 o'clock. Just Google in the Coon Round Report. Google in skidrow.la, Skid Row Studios. And I'm delighted to have sitting next to me, I knew it looked like a Tuskegee Airmen, the chapter, the one I've been to a couple of their meetings. One of my best friends was there, Bobby Zeno. Love the brother, miss the brother. Here, who am I speaking with here?
This is Henry Shelby, retired Master Sergeant from the U.S. Air Force.
Okay, welcome to the Coon Round Report. Welcome to the event here tonight. What do you know about Bill Terry?
Bill Terry, I actually met Bill Terry back at a few years. Well, actually, he grew up in the neighborhood with my mother and my uncles.
In the Compton area like
yes,
that?
Yes, in the Compton, Watts area.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little about him? What was your experience when you met him?
It was a good experience. He's very knowledgeable. He talked a little bit about what he went through and preserved and kept going, you know. Most of the Tuskegee Airmen went through their own personal hell, I would say.
Did you know that did you know that his roommate in college was Jackie Robinson, and he talked to you about that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because Bill Terry was a great. He went to UCLA on a basketball scholarship.
Right.
And they were roommates at the time. They talk about a little bit in the play. What do you think of the importance of the Tuskegee Airmen, especially in relationship to the African American community?
Well, if it wasn't for the Tuskegee Airmen, I myself personally could never have retired or had a career in the Air Force. My specialty in the Air Force is working on computer systems, telephone systems, telephone networking, and there's a lot of training that's involved in that, and skill electronics. That would have never been possible had it been for these men doing what they did and stood up for what was right.
And so when you came, you had already been to college when you went into the service?
I had some college, but that was in photography. But when I went in, I had the aptitude to do electronics, and that's what I wanted to do, and so that's what they allowed me to do.
And you came out and you went to college out here. Where did you go to school at?
I went to L.A. Trade Tech.
L.A. Trade Tech, yeah. Now, talk about who's the president now? Is it Lowell Stewart?
Lowell Stewart Jr.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's still the president.
Yes, he is.
And did you know Bobby Zeno well?
I didn't know him very well. I just had met him.
Okay, I want to get a few of the other Tuskegee Airmen out of here, but I want to ask you a couple more questions. What do you know about Juneteenth, as they call it? Yeah.
Well, that's supposed to be the day we were set free, and then the message took such a long time to get to all the other places. And so I've been to Allenworth Town. My kids up there when they were little.
What's that experience like?
Oh, it was like taking you way back, and you see some of the things that they did, and some of the innovative things they did as far as housing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was started by a military veteran also that founded that. Okay, then. Hey, thank you for taking some time. I know Bobby Buck want to get over here and take a. You get a picture of him? Did you? He's gonna get a picture of you. This is just such a wonderful event to see all these Tuskegee Airmen come out. Yeah, and then hopefully I may be able to get an interview with Darius over there. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Tell us your name again.
Henry Shelby.
Henry Shelby, one of the Tuskegee, he belongs to the Tuskegee Airmen here, a great organization. Yeah,
yes,
I'm going to try to make one of the Friday, the third Friday of every month, or the which
There's
one?
There's actually a meeting tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, that's right.
It's the third Friday of the month.
Yeah, did you know Hank Bowman? He used to be one of the presidents. His daughter is one of the playwrights here, Judy Bowman.
Yeah, I knew him.
Yeah, I got to make sure that you meet her tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Okay, this is Melvin Ishmael Johnson. I'm live here at the beautiful Ford Theater out here on the Edison Plaza. And I'm sitting, I'm delighted to have one of my writing partners in my veteran writing class. He's a veteran too. He come out to support the veterans.
You're too kind.
And tell our listening audience your name.
Darius Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've been doing some screenwriting, and I'm glad to be here for your newest play.
Mm-hmm.
I love your last play, mm-hmm. and so I look forward to hearing how this is going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you went to the cave and was working on something, so we didn't see you for a while, so I knew something was cooking.
Yeah. Okay, now Darius, what do you know about the Tuskegee Airmen?
Oh, probably, now, I grew up in the South. My father's from Alabama. Mm-hmm. My mom is from Mississippi. So that they were legends, folklore. I've only by verbal, by my mom and my grandmother, that they've told me about the Tuskegee Airmen, how they were daring,
mm-hmm.
and that they flew planes. They were in a segregated military, but they, you know, fought for our nation,
mm-hmm.
during the WW2.
Your mom was from what part of Mississippi?
Greensville.
Greenville, Mississippi.
Yeah, Greenville.
What was her name?
Bernice, well, okay, I'll give you the maiden name, Bernice Shepherd. Her married name, of course, Bernice Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got to dig that up because that's my hometown.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It's you.
Yeah. My Kate Shepherd was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this goes on back.
yeah, because I know the Shepherds lived on the south end of town.
Then you might know of them. We might better tell me something.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
my grandfather checked out real early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you know, so unfortunately, you know, mm-hmm. you know, my grandfather was real traditional from what I can remember when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he. Terms that we use today would confuse him.
Because mm-hmm.
I remember when I was like a little boy, my grandpa,
mm-hmm.
I said, Grandpa, you know, how long, Grandma? He said, I've had the same woman
mm-hmm.
for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes he would slip up and say, I've been having the same sex for 40 years. So, you know, today if I told Grandpa, I said, Grandpa, same sex doesn't mean the same thing today.
Yeah.
As it did then. So, okay. You know, he wouldn't understand. What do you mean? I've been with the same woman. It ain't all that happening. I've been with the same woman for 40 years. No, same sex, that is. Listen, Grandpa, okay. It means something else.
Okay. So I'm going to go over and get this. We got to get this started. I see Judy Bowman over there at the table over there.
Okay.
So, Darius, thank you very much.
And look forward. I know this is going to be a great night. You got a great turnout. We look forward to hoping the energy from the crowd and the play together is going to be marvelous.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.